U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Former Vice President Joe Biden faces accusations that he made women feel uncomfortable with his hands-on approach to interpersonal politics. Could this Me Too reckoning keep him from joining the presidential race or hurt him if, in fact, he does decide to get in? He's facing new criticism from a variety of competitors. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot. We will talk about Joe Biden with my colleagues, Kim Strassel. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Paul.
And William J. McGurn. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul.
All right. So let's talk about Joe Biden. This is one of the first big events, I think, Kim, in this presidential race, because it's an attempt, I think, by many people to keep Biden out of the race. Former vice president for 8 years, senator for 36, is leading in the polls right now, ahead of Bernie Sanders and everybody else. And some of that's name recognition, but he has been gearing up with his advisors and fundraisers, ready to go, all just waiting for Biden to give the word. And I think that these stories are now coming out in a way to give him second thoughts about whether he should get in.
Yeah. You know, spare a little thought of sympathy for Joe Biden. He's not even declared in the race, and there have been more negative headlines about him than just about every other candidate combined. And it's all part of this sabotage effort. So we've heard a lot about the money he rakes in from big banks, all of his supposed past prior sins and positions that he's had, whether it's Anita Hill or other subjects. And now, yes, we're hearing about how Joe Biden is a little bit too up close and personal with some women, his kind of creepy habit to be a little touchy. Now, I'd like to point out this is universes away from actual Me Too allegations. And I think it's important that everybody point that out. Democrats are making a mistake lumping all of this together. This is not claims of sexual assault. It's just claims of supposedly inappropriate, too close political behavior. So, but it's all designed, as you said, Paul, to give him second thoughts about whether or not he wants to get in. I think there's a lot of different motivations for why people are doing that. Some personal from the other candidates, some out in the progressive movement. They don't like his politics, but it makes it a harder decision for him now.
Well, the accuser who has touched off this latest round is a woman by the name of Lucy Flores, who was a former candidate for office in Nevada when the episode that she describes took place in 2014, behind the scenes before a political appearance. She says the vice president put his hands on her shoulders from behind, kind of moved his to smell her hair or brushed her hair, and then kissed her on the head. And she found that made her feel terribly uncomfortable. And she believes that such behavior is disqualifying for a presidential candidate. We can see Nancy Pelosi has issued, the speaker says it shouldn't be disqualifying, although she did warn him, Bill, but that is Joe Biden, better keep your hands to yourself more when you deal with political colleagues who are women.
Yeah, I think Kim made an excellent point that is usually not made, that there are distinctions, there are grades between what people do, you know, between what Joe Biden is accused of doing and what, for example, Harvey Weinstein is accused of doing.
World of difference.
Right. However, that said, those are not distinctions that generally obtain in the Democratic Party. I mean, remember Brett Kavanaugh went through all this. He was accused of gang rape. He was accused of sexual assault, and Joe Biden then said the woman should be given the benefit of the doubt. So they've created these rules that I think are largely unworkable or not designed to get at the truth. And that's the problem. They now have to live by them. And, you know, this is coming right as it looked like he was going to announce his presidential campaign.
You think there's no coincidence, comrade?
Right.
None.
None. So, and what's interesting about that, these rules, is we can laugh at them, but some people believe them. They tend to be Democrats in the Democratic Party. Because if you think that Joe Biden, I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden's, but I do think that there's a case to be made that he's the Democrat best fitted to defeat Donald Trump, this doesn't make any sense. Rather, imagine if people were rallying around Joe Biden as a guy who could unite the traditional blue-collar base of the party, some of which drifted to Trump, while also portraying himself as a faithful heir of Barack Obama.
Kim, some of the critics, and I'm thinking here in particular of the Democratic media class, New York Times, Washington Post, and others, their argument is, well, this isn't Harvey Weinstein behavior. This isn't Bill Cosby behavior. But it does demonstrate that he's out of touch, right? This is not behavior that you can get away with now, and it just shows that he's an old white male who just doesn't get where the country is now, and therefore he's the wrong nominee for the party. Now, my personal reaction to that is, you can't judge some of Biden's behavior going back for decades, suddenly say, oh, things that we saw him do in public are now disqualifying if he wants to run for president. Let the voters decide.
Well, my read, at least of the media, is that that is at least a more honest appraisal of what the real beef is against Joe Biden, right? It's not necessarily this particular behavior. It's the fact that right now in the Democratic Party, there are all these boxes that they would like you to check in identity politics world. And Joe Biden can check none of them. And so there's a pent-up desire to move with one of these newer, more modern minority or other identity politics box-checking candidates out there. And I mean, I agree, it's a little bit rich for the media for years having covered Joe Biden and, you know, occasionally taking notice of this, but laughing it off, you know, that good old Joe, to now decide that this is a disqualifying moment for the guy. But again, the honesty is there in that this is his biggest handicap out in the race.
Let's break this down a little bit, Kim. When you say this is his biggest handicap, is it expressly this behavior with women, or is it that broadly defined his own identity politics, which is he's white, he's old, he's male, he's a heterosexual, he has, and he's not a socialist?
Oh, the latter. That's what I'm trying to say, is that people are only now bringing up this question of his behavior because to them, and as you suggested, it is emblematic of all of the other problems, which are the real problem, that he is old, white, male, heterosexual, and therefore, i.e., out of touch. And they want somebody who is much more woke to be their candidate in the election. And so, again, I think the bigger question, though, is we can all argue over whether or not his behavior truly was appropriate or inappropriate, or if this is just an excuse to go after him. But whatever it is, it's there. And he now has to deal with this in the context of Democratic politics, which is very tricky.
We're talking about Joe Biden's identity politics reckoning, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot talking with Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel about Joe Biden and whether or not his candidacy can survive some of these accusations about his interactions with women. And I want to point out, Bill, if you look at his competitors, what they're saying here, it's interesting. It buttresses your point about the fact that the Democratic Party has created this the woman must be believed standard. It's got Elizabeth Warren. I believe Lucy Flores, Joe Biden's accuser, and Joe Biden needs to give an answer. Amy Klobuchar. No reason not to believe Ms. Flores. Bernie Sanders. No reason to doubt Ms. Flores, notwithstanding the fact that Bernie Sanders presided over, by all accounts, a 2016 presidential campaign that were full of sexual harassment.
Well, I think if you think of today's Democratic Party as a modern college campus, and the craziness, it explains a lot of, you know, when you're mentioning the identity politics. Look, as I'm a dad of three girls, and, you know, I rank things if there's inappropriate behavior, whether the person doing it toward my daughters would get a punch in the nose or maybe knock it off or something like that. And I don't think there's any doubt that Biden did these things, right?
He's not denying them.
A lot of them are in public. The question is how bad that is. And let me say, look, I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden. I think he's been overrated in a lot of ways. I think he was wrong on every foreign policy issue coming up. So I don't say this as a guy I admire. But let me, one story, when President Bush's portrait was unveiled in 2002 in the Obama White House, I couldn't go. My wife went with my 9-year-old daughter. She's there by herself, got separated in the East Room, and my wife came upon and Joe Biden's talking to her, right? And she didn't know who he was, and she was interested in finding the Bush daughters. But he was very grandfatherly. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't do anything inappropriate to other people, but in this interaction, you know, I think a lot can be explained that he's just of a different generation, but that's not going to be sufficient, I think, in today's Democratic Party.
Kim, he's also, Biden has also felt obliged, apparently, to apologize for how he handled the Anita Hill hearings, the accuser of Clarence Thomas. Some 28 years ago at the hearings when he was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, last week he said, "I wish I could have done something. I opposed the Thomas nomination. I voted against him, but I realized that there was a real and perceived problem the committee faced. There were a bunch of white guys," end quote. Now, of course, the chairman white guy was Joe Biden. I don't know that this kind of apology, I understand why he may feel he has to do it, but it does not make him look like a strong leader.
Well, I think the bigger point is that if you go back to that period of time in the Senate, it was mostly just a bunch of white guys. You know, I mean, what were you going to do to get a different committee makeup? And to apologize for that now is a bit weird. And it also, of course, forgets the entire context of that hearing, in which there was a lot of reason to doubt Anita Hill's last-minute allegations, which were not corroborated. But he's doing this a lot, okay? He's out there apologizing for all manner of perceived sins, things that he did in the past that were understandable at the time and by the way, I think are still justifiable now, but now count as utterly disqualifying again in this identity political atmosphere on the left. You can't even, apparently Joe Biden's even apologizing for calling other people good guys. You know, he called the vice president, Mike Pence, a decent guy. And then when he got assailed for having done that, he apologized. He said, and the quote is, "You're right." He said, "There is nothing decent about being anti-LGBTQ rights, and that includes the vice president." So apparently these days in the Democratic Party, you can't even concede that one of your opponents might be a decent human being.
Let me just interject here, Kim. Sorry. I mean, do you think Biden's going to get in, or do you think this will end up chasing him out?
Well, he's not doing much to help himself at the moment. I mean, none of this makes him look like a strong leader, which, by the way, I think if you look at the polls and you see him consistently at the top, that is in part because there is a yearning in the Democratic Party, at least not among the progressives or the elites or the, you know, hardcore caucus voters, but just in the center of the party for a guy who's a little bit more moderate, and also for a guy who they do think would be a strong leader. So he's not helping himself with that. I think he may still get in given those polls, but I do think that this all continues to haunt him.
And Bill, I mean, if he does get in, this is only the start. This is going to be, there's going to be a lot more of this kind of analysis of Biden. Not necessarily, I don't know if there are more women who will come right. forward with that similar episodes, though there may be, because this is the, we know that this is the way Biden handled himself
right.
so over the years. And he's had a long history in politics. But whether or not this is going to be a kind of a death by a thousand cuts from somebody who's going to have to defend decades of policy actions and votes that don't now mesh with the current Democratic Party.
Right. I think you mentioned this before, and Kim alluded to it in Biden's backing down when he called Pence a decent guy. And then he apologized, and then he said, gee, it's a sad state in America when you have to apologize for calling someone a decent guy.
So he backed away twice.
Right. So I think the problem is if he's going to try to compete on being the most woke, he's going to lose just because he doesn't trust it. He has to, and he's going to look weak, and I don't think a candidate can do that. I'm amazed at how Joe Biden is running. I think he needs a sister soldier moment like Bill Clinton had.
And I tell people what that is.
Well, when he rebuked her, and it looks strong.
Jesse Jackson had criticized him for something. Jesse Jackson had said something about this woman at the time by the name of Sister Soulja, and Clinton spoke up and said, "Boom, that's wrong." Right. And he got a lot of credit for standing up to Jesse Jackson, who was a very prominent person in the Democratic Party at the time.
And fit the identity politics mold of someone that might be a sacred cow otherwise. So I think Biden has a lot of attributes that he could run, but this apology for everything, I think, is not playing to his strengths. Look, what do Democrats want at the end of the day? They want someone that's going to stand there on that podium, give it to Trump, and get the voters. If I were Joe Biden, and again, I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Biden, I'd say, look, I have strong roots in the Democratic Party. My family, you know, came from people. I know some of the people and their concerns that voted for Trump, and I can get them back. We're gonna get you back, and we're gonna work for your vote. And at the same time, say, look, I may not, you know, I'm an older guy, but I've been very progressive. He was out in front on same-sex marriage, a lot of other things, so he could. If you look past the personality at the agenda, I think he could do it. But that requires being strong. And so far, everything he's done is not conveying wokeness. It's conveying weakness.
Well, good line. Yeah, good line. I'm not so sure that he can survive this, Kim, if he does get in. I think there's just a large swath of the Democratic Party which really does not want to nominate an old white male who has been around a long time, notwithstanding his 8 years working with Barack Obama, notwithstanding his experience, and notwithstanding what Bill describes, I think, correctly as his potential appeal to Trump voters.
Yeah, and I would have to wonder, look, I still do think he's probably going to mull getting in. But I think if he does, as you said, it'd be very hard to survive, but he might have to go back out again. And that makes me wonder why Biden even wants to go down this path. I mean, this race in general is going to be vicious, right? We've already seen it. It's only a couple of months in, and it's going to be nasty. And this is a guy, he served as the vice president. There's a lot of goodwill and good feeling for him because of his service to the country. And maybe if he can't, you know, win by being the Joe Biden he needs to be, then he should just bow out gracefully and retire with some political dignity. Will he do that? I don't know. Usually if you're crazy enough to actually run for the presidency, it's because you're pretty crazy and you really want it. So we'll see.
Well, and that's right. The old line is that the only cure for the presidential bug is embalming fluid. But Joe's run for it twice. But, you know, I mean, at this stage of his career, he's done just about everything except be president. And the question is, do you really want to go through the guff at 76 so that you can get sworn in at 78 and then maybe only serve one term.
Right. Up to now, President Trump is the oldest man to be sworn in for a first term as president. Donald Trump would be, Joe Biden, if he won, would be older than this. Look, I think there's an argument that 2016 was actually Biden's best shot and that the Obama administration made a mistake by going in for Hillary rather than Biden. As he points out in his book, he was strong in states where she's not strong. But as you say, look, they want to run. They haven't. You look around and you say, what do they have that I don't have? And also, for all Joe Biden's problems, he's still at the top of the polls. Now, it may just be name recognition from 8 years as vice president, but this is the difference with his other two runs, and it's probably weighing on him. Like, the last time he was long shots, but this time he's at the top. So if they knock him out, they're knocking out the top guy.
All right, Bill, thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Potomac Watch.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.